Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, June 4th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And we got Eagles football to talk about today. The team was back on the practice field on Tuesday. Practiced for about an hour and a half, hour 15, something like that. Hot day, sunny day, beautiful day for football. And this will be, that was the last time we see him before the mandatory mini camp, which is actually a week from Tuesday. It's June 10th, so a week from yesterday. And that will be full mandatory mini camp. Everyone's going to be there. And that's the last time we will see them until the best time of the year takes place. And that is training camp. So without further ado, let's just get right into it, because there is a ton to talk about. Ton of depth chart notes. Good day for Jalen Hurts once again. Vic Fangio talked before practice. And as is always the case with Vic Fangio, when he talks, there is a lot to take away from it. He keeps it real at the podium. It's the only way to say it. He keeps it real at the podium. So first, as like a pseudo injury report, let's talk about who was there, who wasn't there, who was doing what, and some injury updates. So not at practice for the second time, because he wasn't there last time we were there. Devontae Smith, not in the building for practice. Johnny Wilson was not there. EJ Jenkins was not there. And Elijah Cooks was not there. Off to the side field. And by the way, this is via Dave Zangaro, who does an awesome job taking attendance. On the side field, so there but not practicing, Cam Jurgens and Avery Williams. And this was an exciting development. Now, the excitement gets killed a little bit when we talk about what Vic Fangio had to say about him. But at practice, lining up with the linebackers, walking around, Jahad Campbell in a helmet. The first time seeing Jahad Campbell in a helmet at practice since he's been drafted. Now, he didn't do anything. He didn't take part in any of the drills or anything, but slow and steady. Just, he was out there, had a jersey on, had a helmet on. He was watching the drills. You know, a step in the right direction. So we'll talk a little bit about what Vic Fangio had to say with his timeline. And it's probably right around what we expected, but he was there and he did have a helmet on, which is good to see. And then didn't do team drills, but was there is AJ Brown. And I got to give respect to AJ Brown. I know he's not doing the team drills, but he is there doing wide receiver drills in June with like mostly guys that won't make the team. Like, Jahan Dotson was there. Jahan will make the team. Jahan will, you know, be on the roster. But outside of that, it was a lot of guys there playing receiver with no Devontae, no Johnny Wilson, that won't probably make the team. And AJ was first up in all the drills. So good leadership from AJ. Didn't do the team stuff, but was there just only doing individual work. So with that being said, Jalen Hurts had another outstanding day. Jalen was 15 of 17, no touchdowns, no interceptions. But I really think, you know, as someone that's watched every practice open to the media since Jalen's been drafted, and obviously since he was a rookie, you would expect him now entering his sixth year to be a far better quarterback, and he is. But, you know, I had a moment during practice today where I was sitting back and thinking, like, Jalen has not always been a great practice player. You know, I can pull up the stats. Like, there have been times where at OTA practices, he's thrown multiple interceptions, where, you know, there's been training camp practices I've covered of his where, you know, he can barely complete a pass. The defense is dominating. And in the season, he has, you know, had good years, obviously. But the difference in Jalen as a practice player over the last year has really, really changed. From training camp to now the two OTA practices I've watched him. In the two OTA practices I've watched him this offseason, he is 35 of 38. And like I said, today, 15 to 17. There were OTA practices last year where he threw multiple interceptions. And then we know what happened in training camp. He set the franchise record for consecutive attempts without an interception. So I just think it's such a good sign of how much he's improved as a player. I remember covering him when he was younger. This will always stick in my head. There was a practice. I believe he was a rookie at the time. It might have been 2021, but you know, it's a 7-on-7 drill and he's holding on to the ball. And then 11-on-11 drills, he's holding on to the ball. And I remember Fletcher Cox like jokingly getting at him like, "You got to throw the ball, buddy. You got to throw the ball." Now, he still takes off occasionally. They did a bunch of sevens today and there was one play where he held on to it. But he is so much better at just methodically picking apart a defense. And that obviously comes with like being comfortable in the offense. It comes with just knowing more what the defense is doing, having more experience, watching defenses, knowing what to expect. But you can really see the growth in his game at practice. Because to go 15 of 17 and then go 20 of 21 the last week, like you're being smart with the ball. You know what you're looking at. You're taking your checkdowns. And accuracy's never been his problem. I think when the passing game struggled last year, the problem was more him being trigger shy than it was an accuracy issue. I can't think of many throws where he threw it and it wasn't accurate. It mostly is he won't throw it. That's the problem in games sometimes he'll have. But in practice, yeah, I mean, I've been really impressed with him over these 2 days. No wow throws in the first practice. He did have a really impressive throw on Tuesday where I believe it was 7-on-7s, if I'm not mistaken, but Dallas Goedert down the left sideline, double coverage and really good coverage. Like Goedert was not really open, but Jalen put it Jalen put it where it had to go in order for it to be a completion. It was over Goddard's shoulder. Super impressive catch by Goddard. Like to see that ball coming and hold on to it is an excellent job by him. Kept his feet in bounds, but just a beautiful, beautiful throw by Jalen. Probably 30 yards down the field, I would say. He went deep another time. That was incomplete, but Adoree Jackson got called for a flag, and it was it looked like he knocked over Terrace Marshall, so not a true incompletion. Still goes down as an incompletion, but like not a true, true incompletion. So once again, he was, you know, razor sharp, and just watching him take the checkdowns and be smart with the ball is just such a big difference from what he was early on in his career and in his practice career. So another really encouraging performance from Jalen, especially when you consider like he didn't have AJ, he didn't have Devontae. He's playing with a bunch of backups who we'll talk about in a minute, but a good day from the starting quarterback. So let's keep it on the offensive side of the ball, I guess, since we just talked about Jalen. We got another chance to look at the starting offensive line. Once again, Tyler Steen out there as the starting right guard. Lane Johnson and Mailata were both practicing. Dickerson was practicing. No Cam Jurgens still, as I said, as he still continues to recover from the back surgery he had. So it was Lane, Tyler Steen, Brett Toth was the starting center. Jeff Stoutland loves himself some Brett Toth, man. Like, that dude has hung around. He gets backup reps. Like, props to him. Props to him for having a, you know, like a prolonged NFL career. He was a starting center. Dickerson in at guard. And then, obviously, Mailata at the left tackle. So, four of the five starting offensive linemen. Kenyon Green was the backup left guard. He hasn't even been practicing at right guard. Matt Pryor was the backup right guard behind Tyler Steen. And I really think this is Tyler Steen's job to lose. I'm not going to pretend like I know how he practiced on Tuesday. It's really hard to see how offensive linemen practice sometimes when you're ground level. You don't get to watch replays, and especially on the interior. But it really seems like it's his job to lose. He's been with the first team both days we've been there. Other positions, they've been rotating, like on defense and some of the positions that we would consider up for grabs. But Tyler Steen back with the starting offensive line. The backup offensive line, and this is via our good buddy Brandon Lee Gowen. Kendall Lamb was the left tackle. Kenyon Green was the left guard. Drew Kendall was the center. Matt Pryor was the right guard. And Darian Kennard was the right tackle. So what's interesting there is Matt Pryor, ton of NFL experience, has played multiple spots. He seems to be in a good position to make the roster. He could potentially be like a cut him and re-sign him guy. But I think Matt Pryor will be in the building this year with the Eagles. And it's interesting he's the backup to Tyler Steen. Like, we've talked so much about Kenyon Green and the potential he is there. They're teaching him left guard first. Now, maybe they're going to move him to right guard in training camp. Maybe he's been taking reps at the position on days we're not there. But it's interesting Kenyon Green is practicing on the left, and it's Matt Pryor on the right behind Tyler Steen. And then in terms of the tackles, Darian Kennard, I think, is going to be the team's top swing tackle this year. Kendall Lamb brings experience that Kennard doesn't have, but they've been coaching up Kennard for over a year. I think he'll be the top backup tackle, but Kendall Lamb certainly experienced. And then Drew Kendall at center. Drew Kendall, the rookie, sixth-round pick, I think it was, out of Boston College. That dude's going to make the team. They seem super impressed with them. I think his ability in college to be the guy that called out all the blitz protections has prepared him for the NFL. He can play guard. They have him at center. I think he's going to make the team. So if you were to look at the starting offensive line and like who's going to make it right now, I think it would be Lane, Steen, obviously Cam Jurgens, Dickerson, Mailata, Darian Kennard, Matt Pryor, Drew Kendall, Kenyon Green, I guess. That would be nine. Brett Toth, I feel like you could probably just cut and bring back. But yeah, I think as of now, and then, you know, our boy from Michigan, whose name is, of course, escaping me right now, which is funny as I call him, our boy, Trevor Keegan. Trevor Keegan may be in an uphill battle to make the team. So from a depth chart perspective, same at quarterback, obviously Jalen McKee, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, McCord. We just talked about the offensive line. At running back, it was obviously Saquon, Will Shipley, and then A.J. Dillon. We'll talk about Shenderick Powell for a second. So Shenderick Powell, undrafted free agent, and man, I'm impressed. Like, just watching him the two times I have, he can really move. He's shifty in between tackles. They had him returning kicks. I thought when he ran the ball today, he looked good. I think he looks better than the running back that they signed out of Florida. I think Powell is not going to make the team, but I think he'll be here with the practice squad potentially throughout the year. I'm impressed early on by what I've seen from him. And then, like I said, with no A.J. Brown and no Devontae Smith, not a ton to take away from the receivers. I will say Terrace Marshall early on, in the very, very limited times I've seen him, not like the impressive physical specimen I kind of hoped. I would, you know, you look at like his spider charts, his size and all that. Like, I was expecting a little bit more. He hasn't been bad. He just hasn't stood out. And when you have AJ and Devontae out and Johnny Wilson's not there, like, you got to take advantage of those reps. And Terrace Marshall, I don't really think, has done that. Danny Gray. Let's talk about Danny Gray for a second. So Danny Gray getting a ton of work with the offense, with all those receivers out. I'm not sure he like completely took advantage of it because he didn't have a great day. He had one pass that was a drop that I thought he probably should have caught. But, you know, someone that's been in the NFL with the Niners before, now he's with the Eagles, doesn't really stand out physically, but he's at least like getting the ball thrown to him consistently. I think I have him down for, what number is he? What number is Danny Gray? Danny Gray is number 80. I have him down for 1, 2, 3. This is suspenseful podcasting, I know. But like, yeah, 4 or 5 targets on Tuesday. So he's at least getting the ball thrown his way, which is not really happening as much with Terrace Marshall. So yeah, I think Danny Gray is not going to make the team, obviously, but he at least has been like a part of practice. So on the offensive side of the ball, that's really the main takeaway. Still Tyler Steen's job. Receivers behind AJ and Devontae, they really don't have a ton of depth. And then we talked about the offensive line. All right, let's move to the defense. So the first team defense in 7-on-7s, because that's really like the key part of the defense there. Obviously, I think we know the starting defensive line is going to be Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Jalix Hunt, and then they'll rotate guys in. One thing, I don't know if I said this the last time we watched them practice, but Azeez Ojulari is bigger in person than I expected. I viewed him as more of like a Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt type of body. He's definitely thicker than them. So I've been impressed with him. Just physically, you can see why he was a first round pick. Like he physically looks the part. But the back seven. So when they were first up for 7-on-7, and you know, they've been shifting 7-on-7 versus 11-on-11 around. So it always hasn't been the same guys. But for their first 7-on-7, Sidney Brown was starting at safety next to Blankenship. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. was starting next to Zach Bond at linebacker. They had Cooper in base on the outside. And then when they went to nickel, they moved Cooper on the inside to nickel, and they put Keely Ringo out there at the starting corner. So the starting secondary in base was Quinion, Sidney Brown, Reed Blankenship, and Cooper. And then when they went to nickel, Cooper moved to the inside, and it was Keely Ringo. And then the linebackers stayed the same. And then obviously, as I said, Sidney Brown was in there at safety. So seeing the safety position with Reed there is different than what we saw the last time we watched them practice, because Reed wasn't there. And I believe it was Sidney Brown and Makuba, if I remember correctly. Makuba was the first safety up off the bench. Him and Tristan McCollum were the top backup safeties. Now, when they moved to 11s, they kept Sidney Brown as a starting corner on the outside. Keely Ringo, the starting corner on the outside. And then once again, Sidney Brown was with the starter. So it seems as of right now, like Keely is ahead of Adoree Jackson. Not super surprising. Keely knows the defense, but I think that's a legit competition. Like I said last time, Adoree Jackson is going to push Keely Ringo for snaps. Keely has a physical advantage over Adoree Jackson, but Adoree Jackson has the experience advantage over Keely. So some other depth chart notes there on defense at nickel. So Perry Nickerson was the top backup nickel, and then rookie Mac McWilliams was the third string nickel. I've been impressed with Mac McWilliams. I'm excited to see how far up the depth chart he can climb. If they seem open to playing Cooper at other spots, like I think they will play him at nickel. And after the break, we'll talk about what Vic Fangio had to say. But Mac McWilliams to me is a wild card here because he can play outside. He probably has the better size in the NFL for nickel. And if he looks like he can really play nickel, that opens things up to really move Cooper around. You could put him on the outside, potentially play him at safety, which is something Vic talked about. But yeah, so on Tuesday, no real great defensive plays stood out. But yeah, that was the depth chart notes for Tuesday's practice. So overall, a pretty basic practice. Nothing like shocking, nothing, you know, great plays outside of the Jalen throw to Goddard. McKee had a good day. You know what? Maybe live on the pod, I will look up his stats for you guys. So he was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. He was 16 of 19, no touchdowns, no interceptions. I had another reporter comment to me during it that he looks really comfortable back there. And I agree. I think him and Jalen both look like they have a really good control of the offense. And you can just see in the completion percentages, like they are, if they don't like what they see, they know where their checkdowns are and they're getting there. So a good day of practice for Tanner McKee. We got a chance to see Kyle McCord throw the ball. Throws a nice ball. Definitely throws a nice ball. Even in warmups, you can see like when he's throwing it to someone, they don't have to move much. The ball is going right to their hands. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, man, like I know I kind of planted my flag a little bit on DTR Island. He's got a hyphen. Good college stats, fun guy. Had one of the worst throws I've seen at a practice. Like the ball must have slipped out of his hand or something, but a guy was wide open in the flat and it just like did not get there. So not a great day of practice. Now, again, it's only 3 reps. He went 1 for 2. So let's not act like, you know, it was some huge look at him, but Kyle McCord, better practice on Tuesday. So I would say overall, though, the big news of the day was Vic Fangio's press conference. So on the other side, I'm going to play you guys some of the important audio from Fangio and then talk about some of my takeaways. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
So whenever Vic Fangio talks, and we learned this early on last year, every time he talked on a Tuesday and we did the Daily Pod, I said the same thing, but it's so true. Like, man, that dude keeps it real. Like, you want to talk about just a guy that goes up there and is not interested in playing the political game, not interested in like saying something for that. He just says what he feels. And as a result, we got a lot of interesting takeaways from what he had to say. So I'm going to run through it kind of in chronological order and go over some of the things he had to say. So first up, Bryce Huff. First question, why did they trade Bryce Huff? Here is what Fangio had to say.
Why didn't Bryce Huff work out here?
Well, I think the one thing is he was getting better. And when he hurt his hand, he tried to play with it a couple weeks. It wasn't going good because he was reluctant to use his hand. And then when they operated on it, he had to play with a big cast on his hand, which basically rendered his hand useless and then rendered your arm useless because you can't use your hand. That really, had an effect on him. And, we just come out of draft season, and first thing you see when they put a guy's name up on the board, his hand size, his arm length, well, he lost all that. And in that, while he was out, Nolan got more snaps, Jalen got more snaps, and things evolved. But I think he'll do fine in San Francisco.
So here's the flaw in that answer, in my opinion. Like, a large part of that. Now, he basically says Bryce was playing well. We felt good about his development. Then he got hurt. Then Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt played and took the snaps and kind of happened. And then he obviously said there he thinks Bryce will play well in San Francisco. Here's the issue with that. Bryce didn't have to get traded just because Jalix Hunt and Nolan Smith played well. Like, they don't have four legitimate edges. Maybe they like Ojulari better, and they could. I think that's obvious. But, like, that's only a third edge. They don't have anybody that's, like, stepped up to play that edge. And they gave Bryce a ton of money. So he clearly didn't want to just say, like, he can't do what I want. But that's the obvious takeaway. Like, if it was just the injury, they wouldn't have traded him. If they still thought he could play, they wouldn't have traded him. So I know I just said Vic says what he wants, but that is one where I think a little bit, not completely honest there. Next up, Jahad Campbell. Vic was asked about, where he's going to start and, like, what he thinks his potential is as an edge rusher. And here is what he had to say.
Well, right now he's working at ILB. Because there's a lot more to learn there. So that's where we'll start him. He won't hit the practice field until, sometime in August. So we're doing all we can. He's doing all he can in meetings. We're doing all we can with him on the field. I take him to the side and do an individual drill with him that's suited to what he can do right now. So he's working good and trying to pick it up.
So I think this is a really good answer from Vic. Like, it makes sense to start him at inside linebacker because there's more to learn there. And, he mentioned he's working with Jahad Campbell one-on-one. There was a portion of practice where you could see Vic doing that. And Vic is obviously worth his salary. Look at what he did last year. And I think when we think of of coaches, and this is weird to say, but we think a lot of like scheme, right? Like Vic is worth it because he's a veteran that can scheme, that can coach, that can do. But what I think a real benefit of Fangio is that we don't talk about enough is his ability and like the luxury the Eagles have of having him develop players. Like the fact that Jalen Carter is going to get to learn from Vic Fangio, the fact that Jahad Campbell is getting a crash course over the summer from Vic Fangio about playing NFL linebacker, like there's real, real value there. So I think it makes a ton of sense to start Jahad at inside linebacker, teach him the position. You might need him to play there. We'll see what's up with N'Kobe. But I also think they are going to have him play edge. And, you know, basically it sounds to me like they will put him at edge, but they want to spend the practice reps teaching him linebacker because it's a more complicated position. But yeah, I think that Vic agrees with it. I know the Eagles, like front office feels this way, that Jahad has potential as a rusher, and then he can also play inside linebacker. But the other part is, you know, he mentions Jahad's not going to be out there until mid-August. So that's a good portion of training camp. Like that's like 3 weeks into training camp, probably mid-August. That's like almost all of training camp. And we'll see if it actually happens. Maybe that's just kind of their estimate, but maybe it'll be earlier. But that's the first time we've heard like Jahad's probably not going to practice in training camp. We all kind of thought it, but this is again, Vic just saying it. The Eagles have kind of sidestepped like when he'll be available. We'll take it day by day. And then Vic just goes, yeah, mid-August. So I think it's good that we know now, like when training camp starts and he's on the pup, like that won't be surprising. How long into the season will it take for Jahad to be out there? I think there's a non-0% chance he plays snaps week one, but it also wouldn't shock me if he misses the first 4 weeks and then we see him in week five, you know, and they just give him that extra time to get ready. Because Vic really values practice time and Jahad is just not going to get a ton of practice time. So interesting stuff on Jahad Campbell. The next most interesting thing I think Vic Fangio had to say was about Cooper DeJean and a potential position we could see him at. We haven't seen him at before. So here's Vic Fangio talking about Cooper DeJean.
I would like to keep him at nickel. And then in our base package, we'll find a spot for him, either at corner or safety.
What's the benefit of someone who can play inside at nickel and outside in base? Because you'd have to find, you know, someone at corner at the nickel size with like 80% of snaps.
Yeah, I think a lot of it will end up depending upon how the rest of the guys develop and where do we most need them. So it will be determined by what's best for him and what's best for the team. And it'll probably what's best for the team will win out in that decision. But he's capable of playing corner and he's capable of playing safety.
So we know that Cooper's going to play a ton of nickel. That's where Vic wants him to play. They're going to play nickel the majority of the time, and Cooper will spend most of the season in the nickel. But what's interesting here is in base, he was open to the idea of playing Cooper DeJean at safety. And man, I wish I would have tweeted this a week ago, but a week ago, the Eagles tweeted out some pictures from practice. It was like, you know, Jalen Hurts throwing the ball, Jalen Carter, like, you know, tackling a tackle dummy or whatever. But they put a picture of Cooper DeJean and Reed Blankenship doing a drill together. And at the time, I thought, that's interesting. Like, you don't normally see that. So, little behind the scenes inside the dugout. Normally, at the beginning of practice, the corners do a drill where they line up in twos, they backpedal, then they cut forward, and they catch a football. So, in season, like last year, it was like Quinyon and Darius Slay did it together. And then it would be, you know, Cooper DeJean and probably, I guess, Isaiah Rodgers. Because they do it in order, right? And they very rarely do a safety and a corner together, unless there's like a mix up in the line, like maybe that'll happen occasionally. But normally it's the corners and the safeties. They tweeted a picture last week of Cooper DeJean and Reed Blankenship next to each other doing that drill. At the time, I just thought, oh, exciting whites, like that's, but they were doing it they were doing the drill together. So I do think Cooper has taken some snaps at safety. And the fact that Vic Fangio's open to it is interesting. So we know that we've only seen him at outside corner. He didn't take any snaps at safety today. But here's where it'll come down to. Are the Eagles more comfortable with with Keely Ringo or Adoree Jackson at that spot? Or are they more comfortable with Sidney Brown or Makuba? Because if they feel good about where Keely is and better about where Keely is than Sidney Brown, let's say, then they'll take Sidney off the field and put Cooper back there. If they feel better about where Sidney is at, then and they don't want to take him off the field and they don't feel great about where Keely is, like then it'll be Cooper there. So I actually think it won't be too much about where Cooper's better at. Like that'll be part of it for sure. But I think they'll probably feel Cooper can play both and they'll just put him at whatever they view as the weaker spot. So bottom line is Cooper is going to be on the field every single play on defense. He is healthy next year, like pretty much every play. Quinion and Cooper and Jalen Carter are like, and Zach Bond, I guess, are like the backbone of that defense. Like Jalen Carter, Quinion and Cooper are like the big three, I would say. And then obviously Zach Bond, Nolan Smith, they're all very important, but they are going to make sure Quinion, Jalen Carter and Cooper are set up to succeed and trust them to make plays. But the fact he can play safety, pretty interesting. A few more takeaways from Vic Fangio. He did say a few times that N'Kobe Dean is a ways away from playing. And it does seem like that's the case. N'Kobe was at practice, not practicing today, didn't have a helmet on like Jahad Campbell. But Vic made it sound like it might be half the year. So because he said Campbell mid-August, and then he didn't say that for N'Kobe. So I could just be reading too much into that, but it does seem like N'Kobe, you just feel awful for the guy. Like last year of his contract, he misses the Super Bowl. His value could have been through the roof. Like, and hopefully he plays this year and hopefully he plays well, because N'Kobe certainly deserves another NFL contract, but does sound like N'Kobe might be a little bit away from playing. Vic brought up Tristan McCollum a few times unprompted. There was one point where he went through the list of guys that need to step up with people leaving, and he mentioned McCollum like third. Remember last year, McCollum was the top backup to Chauncey. So, you know, McCollum's probably going to make this team. And I do think Vic Fangio likes McCollum more than the outside world probably does. And Vic's opinion matters more. The last thing that Vic talked about that I thought was interesting was Jordan Davis. So he was asked about Jordan Davis, and he said that the last like eight games or so last year, including the playoffs, Jordan Davis was much better rushing the quarterback. And we've talked about that on this pod. The numbers show that his best pass rushing grades of the season were in those games. So that is true. He also brought up like Jordan Davis. Well, he didn't bring it up. He was asked about Jordan Davis, you know, not being in shape maybe to start the year. And it's the only time I've heard Vic say this. He goes, I'm going to duck that one. So it's pretty clear they feel Jordan Davis didn't come into camp last year in shape. And that's why it took him a while to get going. Jordan Davis did speak to reporters after practice. I wasn't there because I had to go do WIP, but seems like he said he's gotten really into Peloton. He said he didn't like how his face was looking. I can sympathize with that. When I put on any weight, my face balloons like crazy. So who knows? You know, I think the Jordan Davis in the best shape of his life thing is probably a tired story at this point. I think we just got to see him play. But Jordan seems like he feels like he's in good shape. Vic Fangio seems encouraged by how his season ended. And that probably had something to do with the fact of why they picked up that that fifth-year option. So that's kind of it. Good presser from Vic. Good day of practice. Sad we only got one more before we go through the long stretch, the 6 weeks without any Eagles practice. So that'll do it for today's daily podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Go Birds! Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.